E adesso un bel caffè finito. Perché rischiare di rimanere senza caffè quando puoi abbonarti a Caffè Borbone? Prezzi vantaggiosi, costi di spedizione inclusi, tante possibilità di personalizzazione e l'abbonamento lo sospendi quando vuoi. Decidi tu la frequenza, la qualità, scegli tra le cialde e capsule compatibili e crea il tuo mix di gusti e miscele. Mai più senza caffè con l'abbonamento Caffè Borbone. Tutte le info su caffèborbone.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi everyone and welcome to the 54th episode of Praticamente Inglese. Hope you're doing well guys, hope you had a great weekend. Ciao a tutti ragazzi, spero abbiate avuto un buon weekend, bentornati su Praticamente Inglese. Parlo un pochino in italiano adesso perché avremo una lunghissima intervista, spero che sia abbastanza lunga, con Raf Cutolo, che è un ospite che torna a trovarci. Lui è un insegnante di inglese, anzi è un insegnante degli insegnanti di inglese. Sono sempre stato colpito dalla sua incredibile pronuncia inglese, molto british, e gli chiederò tante cose, mi sono segnato tante cose da chiedergli. Prima di iniziare volevo soltanto ricordarvi che, come vi avevo anticipato, vorrei ripartire con Afternoon Tea with Italians, che è questa room su Clubhouse dove ci facciamo quattro chiacchiere in inglese. Sarebbe carino insomma anche per conoscerci chi magari si sente un pochino, è un po' shy, che non vorrà intervenire. No worries, perché potete tranquillamente soltanto ascoltare. L'appuntamento è per venerdì 1 ottobre alle ore 13, quindi cerchiamo di fare una piccola pausa pranzo e vedere quanti siamo, ci diamo una contata e ci facciamo quattro chiacchiere in inglese su Clubhouse. Quindi mi raccomando, seguite Praticamente Inglese, il club su Clubhouse, seguite me, Mattia Morelli, e dovreste ricevere una notifica alle ore 13 di venerdì per partecipare, insomma. E sarebbe carino, insomma, un modo anche per, come dire, mi potete dare i vostri feedback direttamente, and we'll have a chat in English, ok? Before we get started today, I would like also to remind you, mi raccomando, di seguire Praticamente Inglese un pochino su tutti i vari social, su Patreon, patreon.com/ Mattia Morelli, c'è la possibilità di supportare il podcast, ma più che altro è un contributo simbolico per fare una video call con me due volte al mese. Insomma, chi vuole partecipare è ben accetto, insomma. E poi un'altra cosa molto molto importante, sto cercando sempre più ospiti, cercando di darvi valore, e quindi insomma, se avete suggestions for me, fatemi sapere, insomma mandatemi un DM su LinkedIn, e magari qualche ospite interessante che vorreste ascoltare, ovviamente in inglese come spesso accade. Ok, oggi tante domande per Raf, gli chiederò di un pochino di domande pronte per idiomi, per cose un po' interessanti, per sinonimi di come dire cose, insomma vediamo come ci porta la conversation con lui, perché si aggiungono sempre cose quando c'è Raf con me. Quindi bando alle ciance, let's get started with today's episode, and I would like to welcome Mr. Raf Cutolo. Hi Raf!
Hello Mattia, how are you? It's so lovely to be back on Praticamente Inglese. It's one of my favorite places to be, and I'm really looking forward to talking about loads of things with you. So yeah, let's get started.
I am super happy to have you back, Raf. It's a pleasure having you here, also because, you know, I heard a lot of people that are very interested about, you know, things related to English, of course. But so many people told me, hey, Raf was amazing, you know, so that's great that you're back in our podcast.
It's so great to be back, and I'm so happy we could organize this. And it's, it feels like being back home.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, let me tell you this. I mean, your voice would be not fantastic because I know you are in a hotel. The Wi-Fi of the hotel is not so great. But I'm sure I'll try to do my best to make you great, make your voice amazing anyway. Okay.
Thank you so much for that. And I'll try my best to speak as clearly as possible and as close as possible to the microphone. But thank you for that.
Why don't we go into, you know, we are kind of go deep into the English language. I mean, I would like to say, how can I do this, Raf? Can you tell me? Okay. Because you will be great. You know, you could help so many people that are listening to the podcast. That would be great value for the podcast. So, for example, I wrote down a couple of things that would be amazing if you can answer my questions. It would be, how can I, for example, when I'm in a meeting or when I want to, you know, speak with a colleague of mine, a coworker, how can I sound more polite? What are your suggestions for that?
Well, thank you very much, Mattia, for this very interesting question. I know sometimes we have a stereotype of the English that we think that the English are super polite and they always say please and thank you, please and thank you, please and thank you. That is actually very true. You can never say please and thank you enough. However, there are other ways that we can use in order to sound more polite, especially when we have a request for someone. One of these ways is, for example, to add the words for me. So for me, at the end of a sentence, at the end of a request. So we could say something like, could you read this email, please? But also, in order to encourage our listener or the person that we're talking to actually accommodate that request, we could say, could you read this email for me, please? Could you read this email for me, please? And that makes it sound a little bit nicer and more polite when we have a request.
That's great. That's great. So it's like for me.
That's
a great suggestion because, you know, we are very, it's very common to always say, please, thank you, appreciate that. Blah, 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 blah. But yeah. For me, yeah, that's a great addition to the conversation.
And also instead of the could you, which is sometimes overused, especially by Italian speakers, I would also suggest, you know, sort of interchanging that with would and will. So will you get that for me, please? You know, for example, somebody knocks at the door or there's someone who needs to speak with someone in your office or anything like that. And you can't attend that person right there, right then. You want to ask one of your colleagues if they can do that. You'd say, will you get that for me, please? Or will you please see what that what the gentleman needs for me, please? You know, it's anything like that. And it makes you really sound very, very nice towards the person that you're speaking to.
That's great. I have another question for you.
Go on.
So how can we express, for example, our agreement, you know, with... Mm-hmm. With a plan, a proposal, let's say.
Absolutely. I mean, I know there are loads of ways of saying that you agree and disagree, and this is probably some of the lessons that the people that normally listen to Praticamente Inglese, if they study a little bit of business English, or maybe Mattia, in one of your previous episodes, you might have talked about. It is true, mm-hmm. We can say, I agree with that, I totally agree, I completely agree, and all of that. But also, there are other sentences and other phrases that we can use. For example, that sounds like a plan. Or sounds like a deal to me. Sounds like we've got a plan. Looks like we've got a plan. Looks like we've got a deal. And also, we need to remember that there are other adjectives besides beautiful and great. So we can say that's brilliant. The English use the word brilliant a lot.
Yeah.
So that's brilliant. That's fab. That's grand. That's fabulous. That's fantastic. You know, all of these things. I know a lot of you do know these words, but because of habit, we tend to go back to the words that we use over and over again. So try.
It's so British. It's so British. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
So yeah, even brill. You can say that's brill. That's brill.
Okay.
Brill, brilliant. And also, when you want to say that you're happy to do something, you could say, I'm in. I'm game like game, like, you know,
job
play a game. Not. I'm game. Yeah, exactly. Or count me in. Count me in.
Okay. Yeah, that's, you know, that's brilliant. And another thing I want to ask you, you know, in Italian we say quando tu sei sul pezzo, no?
yeah.
How can we say that we are sul pezzo? Io sono sul pezzo, no? That we are aware of something is coming up on whatever.
right. So we can't say we're on the piece. We cannot say that. That doesn't really make any sense. Or you can't obviously say, well, you can teach your colleagues to say, you can teach your colleagues that in Italian we say essere sul pezzo. So you could say I'm on the pezzo. But that, again, doesn't really sound very English at all. Yeah. There are ways to say that. You could say I'm on it. I'm on it. You could say it's on my radar. When something is on your radar, it means that you've kept track of it. You know it's coming up. You're aware that it's happening. I'm taking care of that. You could also say tick that one, as in, you know, put a tick next to something in your imaginary, well, imaginary or less imaginary to-do list. You can, you know, tick the things that you've done. So tick that one. Or also you could say, consider it done. Consider it done.
True. So I'm on it. Letteralmente sono su esso, no?
Quindi, yeah, exactly. Quindi, I'm on it.
I'm on it. Very, very common. It's nice that it's on my radar.
Yes.
è sul mio radar, quindi ce l'ho, lo vedo. e quindi ci sono, insomma. Of course,
And also, Mattia, sorry to interrupt, but when something, you were meant to do something and then you totally forgot, or, you know, it slipped, or somehow it didn't get done, you could say that was totally off my radar. You know, like, I had no idea this was coming up. It's totally off my radar. So you could also say the opposite if you wanted to.
Out of the blue, kind of.
Well, yeah. Or even if you knew something was coming up, like a meeting was coming up, and then you totally forgot, maybe because it was, it was planned a long time ago or whatever. It was on your radar, and then suddenly it was off your radar. So it's something I would like the people that are listening to us to keep in mind, that these expressions are not set in stone, but you can change them according to the situation that you need to use them in.
Yeah, that's great. Also, another Italian thing, no? Che noi ci arrangiamo, no? Che quando, how can we say arrangiarsi, no? Because it's not arranged, right?
No, you can't say arrange. You can't say arrange yourselves to say, well, I mean, to arrange literally means, you know, to, like, for example, if we arrange a meeting, or if we arrange, or arrange for someone to do something, it means that we make a plan, but it doesn't really mean arrangiarsi, despite there having probably, very possibly the same etymology. I would say that in English, you would use the verb to sort out. Mm-hmm. Sort out. So if I wanted to say to you arrangiatevi or arrangiati, I would say sort yourself out. Obviously, yourself with F if you're talking to one person, but if you want to say arrangiatevi, it would be sort yourselves out. Mm-hmm. And obviously you can use it for all the other people. So if you want to say sì, per quella cosa mi arrangio, you could say I'll sort myself out, or also you could say I'll sort something out. In that case, however, when you say I'll sort something out, it means I will come up with a solution, which in a way is very similar to mi arrangio, nel senso di trovare la soluzione a un problema.
Okay. Yeah. That's absolutely, brilliant. Ma visto che tu, insomma, hai introdotto un po' gli idiomi anche, no? Lo abbiamo visto in tante occasioni, anche la scorsa volta abbiamo parlato con te degli idiomi, no? Switch un attimino in italiano. E quali sono, diciamo, le situazioni un po' più difficili che potremmo incontrare, no? In termini come frasi idiomatiche, no?
Oh, I see what you're saying. So this, I mean, the past 18 months have been absolutely incredible. And because there was so much uncertainty around the world, around the world of work, one of the sentences that I have heard the most is, it is what it is. It is what it is. And that's, you know, when you encounter a situation that you really cannot do much about, and you just say, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Also, if you are talking about a situation that you don't really know how it's going to, you know, you don't know how it is going to develop, or maybe you are predicting that some obstacles may arise or some difficulties may arise, but you don't have the tools to, or the knowledge to plan so, you know, so far ahead, you will say, we will cross that bridge when we get to it, or when we come to it. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. So metaphorically, we have to imagine this bridge, un ponte, e noi che camminiamo verso la strada, e quando arriviamo a quel ponte, è come dire, quando incontreremo la difficoltà, quando ci sarà il problema, ce ne occuperemo. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I would like to add something to this, Mattia, because this is something that Italian speakers, it's a mistake that Italian speakers sometimes, well, very often, I would say, make. When you guys want to use as soon as or when, come in questo caso, no? We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Anche se la nostra azione di arrivare al ponte è nel futuro, nelle time clauses è meglio sempre utilizzare un presente. Quindi we will cross that bridge, ovviamente futuro, ma when we get to it, anche se il getting to it è nel futuro. Un po' il concetto di quando arrivi chiamami. Mm-hmm. When you arrive home, call me. You don't say when you will arrive home.
Yeah, okay.
But I do know in Italian we say quando arriverai, e quindi poi per translation, of course, we tend to use the future. It's best to use the present. What else? Oh, we could say there's an interesting expression which I like, which is it all went tits up. When something didn't go as planned and it went absolutely terribly. So something was planned in a nice way and it turned out to be an absolute disaster, you would say that. Also, when you want to talk about in Italian, I think we say nella peggiore delle ipotesi. Ecco, nella peggiore delle ipotesi. Mm-hmm. In English, we would say worst case scenario. Worst case scenario, we will, and you will use will in that sentence. Che poi, come dire, no, nella peggiore delle ipotesi faremo questo, nella peggiore delle ipotesi non faremo quest'altra cosa. Worst case scenario.
E poi the scenario non è altro che scritto come scenario, come lo scriveremo in italiano, no?
Absolutely the same spelling. Absolutely the same spelling.
Okay.
Invece ce n'è un'altra che, sempre per dire se le cose peggiorano, cioè se la peggiore delle ipotesi dovesse avverarsi, io direi if worst comes to worst then we'll do this, or if worst comes to worst then we'll do that. So we have a couple of sentences here that we can use when we want to talk about situations that are not great. There's another one which I would like to throw out there. Mm-hmm. There's a bad word in it. I know I shouldn't be saying this here. So I'm going to try to explain what it is. So you have to imagine a fan, you know, a fan, un ventilatore.
Sì.
And you want to use, now I'm going to use the word ship, but the word you should be using is not ship like nave, but it's ship with a T in the end. And I know Mattia, with the podcast restrictions, I cannot say that word. So I'm not going to say it. But we will say the ship, with a T, of course, hit the fan. Quindi immaginatevi quella cosa che viene scagliata contro un ventilatore, ed è ovvio che se quella cosa viene scagliata contro un ventilatore, poi fa un disastro per tutta.
Certo.
Exactly. Questo lo diciamo quando è successo un vero disastro, cioè quando la situazione è andata proprio malissimo.
Okay. Oh, that's really nice.
Mi raccomando, non usate la parola nave. It's not ship. It's the other one. But obviously, yeah.
And just because you said ship, what about sheep? The sheep is the pecora, no?
Yes. So this is another thing that you want to be careful with, because this is a very interesting question. In fact, from a phonetic point of view. In Italian, we only have one E sound. What does that mean? That no matter where you find the sound E, it will always be the same. Quindi, in buona sostanza, in italiano, nelle parole italiane, se troviamo la lettera E o il suono E, quello noi lo produciamo sempre in quel modo lì. In English, there's three E sounds. Mm-hmm. Ce n'è uno molto simile al nostro, che è quello che produciamo per esempio alla fine della parola 20. C'è quello lungo che conosciamo tutti, che è quello di tree, sheep. E poi c'è un e sound molto molto breve invece, che è un pochino più centrale. Che cosa vuol dire più centrale? Vuol dire che la bocca è meno aperta verso il fuori, cioè le labbra sono meno stretched. It's a little bit more it's a little bit more central. It's a little bit more towards the I sound. And it's the mm-hmm. I sound that we find, for example, in ship, fish, mm-hmm. bin, okay? Mm-hmm. Quindi bisogna fare attenzione, non tanto perché ovviamente può, you know, we can create little misunderstandings, and also obviously with the sheet, che è il foglio di carta, invece si può invece incorrere nell'altra parola, oppure ship and sheep, oppure sì. Bit and beat, for example, okay?
C'è qualcuno nel business, no, che dice lo spreadsheet.
Yes, exactly. So it's not a spreadsheet, but it's a spreadsheet. Spreadsheet. Okay, now we said the word, so okay, whatever.
Okay, we did it.
We did it. Quindi ecco, per il fan utilizza proprio questa.
Ok. Yeah. E ce n'è qualcun'altra, per esempio, magari mi dicevi prima qualcosa sul riflettere bene su qualcosa, no? Le tipologie di frasi, idiomi che potremmo usare, utilizzare.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thank you for this. This is also very interesting because I think, in fact, I believe that a lot of people whose first language is Italian, they will use a lot, think about it, think about that. Oh, I'll think about it. I'll think about this. Oh, please think about it. È che è un po' il nostro pensaci, no? Mm-hmm. That's good, but there are several sentences that we can use to say that. One, which I absolutely love, is food for thought, cibo per il pensiero, food for thought. Mm-hmm. So we'd say something like, oh, there's some food for thought for you. There's some food for thought for you. Okay, so when we, for example, explain our idea to a colleague or to our manager or whatever, and then, you know, we want to encourage them to think about it, we'll say, well, that's some food for thought. Also, we could say, which I also love, mull it over, to mull something over, or to mull over something. It means non tanto rimuginare come alcuni credono, ma è proprio pensarci, to ponder, to reflect on something. Mull it over, sleep on it, which means
dormici su.
Exactly. You know, like, okay, I've given you my idea, you think about it, you sleep on it, and you tell me what you think about it tomorrow. Or also chew it over, to chew like masticare, chew it over.
Masticaci su, insomma, ragionaci, yes,
exactly,
riflettici.
Exactly.
Bellissima quella del cibo per il pensiero, no? Ti do del cibo così il tuo pensiero può mangiare e rimuginare e insomma prendersi tempo per riflettere, fantastica quella. Mull over è come M-U-L-L, giusto? Mull,
yes,
sarebbe.
Mull, exactly. Scritto M-U-L-L and we pronounce it mull.
Mull.
È lo stesso suono vocalico di cup. Mm-hmm. Attenzione, l'ho detto forse nel podcast precedente, se non l'ho detto, pazienza, lo dico ora. Questo suono, tra i suoni vocalici dell'inglese, nelle varietà diatopiche dell'inglese britannico, ovvero nelle varietà che vengono parlate, sempre di inglese, sto parlando tra il sud, il nord, il centro dell'Inghilterra, ma anche del Regno Unito, prendiamo la Scozia e l'Irlanda, possiamo sentire questo suono pronunciato in modo diverso, più a received pronunciation, quindi standard, mm-hmm. se così vogliamo chiamarlo, English or Queen's English, we would say mull, come cup, a cup of tea. Mull it over. But if you go a little bit towards the north, you'll say mull it over. So that's also something that if you're dealing with people coming from different, and I'm saying this because a lot of my students and a lot of the people that I speak to and ask me questions about the English language, they'll say, oh, some people I understand perfectly what they say, and other people I'm not quite so sure, and I've heard that word pronounced this way and that word pronounced that way, and it might be because they come from a different region or different area, and you might not be familiar with their accent.
Okay, yeah, interesting. Also because, you know, so there are so many differences between, I don't know, someone coming from London or a Scottish guy or someone from Ireland. No, there are so many different accents, and it's very difficult sometimes. I always say that it's very easy to understand English from, you know, another European that is trying to, you know, speak with you, rather than understanding someone from, you know, a proper British guy. And sometimes, you know, different regions, different cities, different accent, exactly as it is in Italy as well. But
yes, absolutely. And also, Mattia, I would like to add that we, especially in Europe, we are all brought up with, you know, especially people, I suppose, our generation, people that were not so lucky to be exposed to authentic language. We were brought up with CDs and tapes or whatever from our textbooks, where the pronunciation, for obvious reasons, needs to be extremely clear and very well spelled out. Now, unfortunately, if we speak to native speakers and we expect them to speak like Unit 2, Lesson 1, listen to the dialogue and repeat, we are going to be very disappointed, because these people don't speak like that. So now, and I can give you an example, you know, the way that I speak as well, because I know that a lot of your listeners are not native speakers, and they are, these are people that are trying to learn English. I'm trying to keep the way I'm speaking now as clear as possible, because we want everyone to understand what we're talking about. But I have, and I'm sure you've heard me speak English in a more spontaneous and natural and spontaneous context. And you can testify that this is not the way that I would normally speak. Yeah. If I were speaking to other people, to other native speakers.
You speak much faster, you know, also, and it's more difficult to understand in your natural way, of course, rather than now that you're trying to speak slowly, no, to make sure that everybody is able to understand.
Absolutely. And I think it is important when we are communicating, you know, it's part of empathetic communication. If I put myself in the shoes of someone who's trying to learn a foreign language, I would like the person who is speaking to make an effort and try their best to make me understand, or to allow me to understand what they're
true.
saying.
True. What else? Raf, I have a question as well.
Yeah.
Because you told me about this thing. I said, what is that, Raf, when you said to me about the perifrastica passiva di need? You told me before. And I said, okay, you need to explain me, because I don't even know what that means.
Allora, questa cosa mi piace tantissimo, perché è una cosa particolarmente inglese. E io la conoscevo questa forma, even before it's something you, every now and again, you will encounter it, like on books, or you will hear it. But there was very interestingly, I noticed it on a TV show. The TV show, during this TV show, these two guys were talking about Brexit. This is like 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to explain Brexit with a metaphor of a cup of tea. And the guy said, do you want the bag, as in the la bustina, the tea bag, leaving in or taking out? Questo leaving e taking, che sono la forma in di questi verbi, in realtà per noi ci sono strana, perché noi avremmo voluto dire do you want the bag left in or taken out, cioè lasciata mm-hmm. dentro o tirata fuori, con un participio passato. E invece utilizzano questo in. Perché? Quando abbiamo dei verbi come want o come need, it is possible to express the passive mode or nature of the action. Perché passive? Perché non è la bustina che salta fuori dal tè o che si lascia dentro, ma è qualcuno che la mette
che la
dentro
toglie,
e
certo.
Tira fuori, in questo senso passivo, perché subisce l'azione. Utilizzando ing, vi faccio un esempio. Se io voglio dire, c'è bisogno che qualcuno faccia questa cosa. Somebody needs to do that. Because I don't, non sto dicendo Mattia needs to do that, perché se conosco il soggetto, va bene, lo dico, e allora il soggetto ha la prominence e viene messo in posizione lì dove deve stare, e ok. Ma poniamo il caso che a me interessa che la cosa venga fatta, non da uno o dall'altro. Io posso dire somebody needs to do that, oppure dico that needs to be done, che è quello che probabilmente diremo tutti, oppure that thing needs doing. Doing. That thing needs doing.
That, yeah, that, it's weird to me to listen to that needs doing.
Yes. Per esempio, somebody needs to scan those documents there. Somebody needs to scan those documents there. A me non me ne frega niente, non mi interessa chi fa la scansione. Mi interessa che i documenti vengano scanned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those documents there need scanning. Posso dire need to be scanned, ma posso anche dire, che gli inglesi lo dicono molto spesso, those documents there need scanning, mm-hmm. Ok? Oppure, non so, I'm talking about a situation that I have to speak about with my team, and my manager says the team need to be told, or the team needs to be told. Poi, se vuoi, parliamo anche di questa cosa. Mm-hmm. The team needs to be told. Questo to be told posso trasformare in telling. Quindi, the team need telling. The
team okay. Need... But that's interesting. Also, because you said now team, no?
Yeah.
Think about team and the staff when you are at work, for example, no? Or yeah. the management or the management team.
Yes.
Those are, you know, plural or singular? that's a great question, you know, because I'm always, you know, very confused as well on that. So can you explain to me and to us about it?
Absolutely, I would love to. When we talk about collective nouns, che sono i nomi collettivi, we can, in English, use the singular or the plural verb. Dico verb, ma tutti quanti le altre parti della frase, ovviamente, che vanno concordate. According to whether we are considering the collective noun as one entity, or if we are considering the members, the people that make up that group. I'll mm-hmm. give you an example. Se io dico, per esempio... la direzione o il management sta facendo un controllo incrociato di tutte le operations. Posso dire, the management is cross-checking all operations. Perché? Perché intendo che il management come ufficio, come entità, come la direzione, mm-hmm. ok? Ma se io intendo i componenti del management, cioè proprio i managers, posso dire, the management are cross-checking all operations. This happens, for example, with the police, family, staff, team. I could say, for example, my family are coming to visit. Or posso dire, my family is coming to visit. Posso dire, the staff are on it. Posso dire, the staff is on it.
Okay. Okay, I understand now. I definitely... And yeah. I have another thing to ask you. You know about holiday, no? How was your holiday? But in Italia noi diciamo come sono andate le tue vacanze, come sono state le tue vacanze. Questa cosa del holiday singolare, holidays plurale, secondo te come dovrebbe essere usata per essere corretta?
I don't think I would consider it wrong if somebody said to me, how were your holidays? How were your holidays? Although I would, I mean, you caught me on the spot here. because I think if somebody said how were your holidays, probabilmente penserei a due viaggi diversi, cioè a due viaggi diversi che ho fatto, non so se sono stato.
Sì, okay, tipo. Ok, mi è chiarissimo, no, così.
How was your holiday? È la tua vacanza.
Okay.
Mentre in italiano però è più intercambiabile, cioè sei stato bene in vacanza, sei stato bene durante le vacanze, cioè posso dire entrambe le cose, no?
Certo.
Non mi sembra che ci sia una grossa differenza. In English, I don't know, and I'm not saying this is exactly what it's like, but the feeling that I get is that if somebody said to me, how were your holidays? Did you enjoy your holidays? They know that I've been on, I don't know, two different trips or different holidays, whereas if they said, how was your holiday? It's la vacanza, cioè quella vacanza che
quella che hai fatto, insomma, quella da cui sei rientrato.
Exactly, so che sei partito una settimana fa per andare a Minorca, sei tornato oggi, com'è andata la vacanza, quella lì.
Chiaro.
I've never really looked into this and I've never really
Okay, yeah. Just, it was just my curiosity because
yeah, no, of course.
I'm always confused sometimes to say plural or singular when we're talking about holidays, yeah. Holiday, whatever. And I have another question for you. And we can wrap up this conversation after that. But do the English really talk about the weather?
Oh, my goodness. All the time. All the time. And you would think, why would they talk about the weather in England when the weather they have is one type of weather? So there's nothing to talk about. But there is. When it's hot, it's always too hot. We enjoy the heat in the UK just for maybe one day, maybe two. And then we're like, oh, it's too hot. So we do talk about the weather. But I think talking about the weather opens up a bit of a more interesting chapter, which is, do the English people really do small talk? And we tend to do it a lot. I say we because I live in the UK, so it makes sense for me to say we. But I find, and this happens in the States as well. A lot of friends of mine tell me that, you know, who live in the States, they tell me that they will have conversations with strangers. And in Italy, I find we don't have a lot of conversations with strangers. But when you go, I don't know, when you go to a shop, for example, you will never just say good morning or hello. You would say something like, hi, how's it going? Hello, how are you? How are you today? Oh, you're doing all right? So these questions are questions that actually are asked. Sometimes they might not take the conversation anywhere, but sometimes they might lead to a conversation with the stranger. Mm-hmm. So if I went into a cafe, for example, before telling the person who's making my coffee or taking my order, before telling them what I would like, I would say, hi, how are you today? And they'd say, good, how are you? And I'd say, yeah, not too bad. Great. Mm-hmm. So, and they'd say, what can I do for you today? And I'd say, well, and then I would order. So there's always, but that way, that could very well be an occasion where the conversation, veers, I would like to say, towards the weather. So I'd say, well, hi, how are you today? Yeah, I'm good, but it's raining again. And, you know, and they will say, yeah, it's raining, you know, and then you talk about the weather and how annoying it is that it's raining. But also, on the other hand, how much we need the rain because we have so many hot days. And that's what I'd like to say. So and sometimes, and you will like this, Mattia, when mm-hmm. I'm in Italy I have the same sort of experience, vado in un bar magari, o mi trovo al ristorante così, o alla reception di un hotel per l'appunto, dico, come sta lei oggi, come va oggi? I know in Italian it sounds really weird because you don't really ask strangers how they are. Yeah. Quindi,
who are you?
Noi diciamo piuttosto buongiorno e poi si parte subito. Yeah, exactly. Però io, per esempio, lo faccio spesso, buongiorno, come va oggi? And people are genuinely puzzled. You know? But I think it's just a matter it's a cultural thing. Some cultures do it more genuinely and some other cultures just don't do it.
Really quick. You know that we always ask at the end of our interviews about things to help people to improve their English, mainly at work, but in general, I would say, we always hear the same things more or less, you know, practice is the key, you know, having a sort of routine every day and trying to listen or trying to speak to express yourself in English. What else would you add? Something that, you've noticed recently that is very, you know, useful and helping people to improve their English, if you have a tip for us.
What I would definitely advise is to try and mimic, impersonate what you hear. If we're talking about spoken English, I think it's great. Giocate a fare gli imitatori. Trovatevi dei video che vi piacciono, trovatevi gente che vi piace seguire, possono essere degli influencer madrelingua, possono essere attori che vi piacciono, possono essere delle interviste, possono essere dei pezzi di film, quello che vi pare a voi. Ascoltateli, stoppate e imitate. Anche questo podcast, tornate indietro, ascoltate me e Mattia e imitateci. Sentite, quando io vi ho detto, per esempio, le frasette prima, le ho ripetute, no? Cercate di fare, for example, Mattia, you do it very well, because when I say the phrase of the sentence, you repeat it, and you try and repeat it exactly like you've just heard it. Repetition is absolutely amazing, mm-hmm. because it gets you into the habit. Io questo lo noto tantissimo con i miei studenti. Quando ti faccio un esempio. If we were having a lesson today and you came to me and you said, it's not your case because your accent is actually really good, but imagine you come to me and you say, hi, Raf, how are you today? And I say, come on, Mattia, we don't say that. We say, how are you? And you go, how are you? And I say, how are you? And you say, how are you? Perfetto. And then maybe for the next, you know, for the rest of the lesson, you keep speaking with your strong Italian accent, but then that sentence, how are you? La prossima volta, magari, tu dirai, hi, Raf, how are you? Okay, yesterday I did this and that and that. So maybe the rest of the lesson will still be with that accent, but you will have learned one thing that will sound to you, that will sound coming from you very English. Un'altra cosa vorrei dire, spessissimo ci facciamo imbrogliare tantissimo dagli occhi E ci fidiamo poco delle orecchie. I miei studenti, storicamente, pronunciano sempre meglio le cose che non sanno, quindi le nuove parole, le nuove frasi, new phrases, new sentences, new idioms, nuovi modi di dire, perché finché non arriva poi l'analisi e dire ok, ecco, sono quelle parole, quindi è scritta così, faccio un esempio, io prima ho detto mull it over, and people will just say mull it over, e poi dicono, ma è scritto mull it over, ok, mull it over. No, ma non era mull it over, se no avrei detto mull it over, right? So I think when just that same sort of feeling that you have when you encounter a new piece of language, also try and do it for the stuff that you know, because it's so, I don't know, it's enlightening, I find. Cioè, quando tu conosci una cosa e poi dici, ma si dice così? Io quell'epifani lì ce l'ho per poche parole. Una che ricordo di aver imparato, insomma, ormai un bel po' di anni fa, è cleanse, che io pensavo si dicesse cleanse, perché è scritto come clean, vuol dire anche più o meno quello, no? Invece è cleanse. So sometimes that sort of feeling of, oh wow, I didn't know that. You can also do it with stuff that you know. Pensate anche a questa che ho appena detto. I didn't know that. Io lo facevo quando ero piccolo che imparavo l'inglese. Mi registravo proprio le famose cassette CD di cui parlavamo prima e mi riascoltavo e volevo proprio essere il più simile possibile a loro. Certo, it's not something that you want to spend a lot of time doing every day, but it's definitely a tip. It's definitely a tip that can allow you to improve. And also, things don't come just because, just because you want them. You have to, it's best if you work towards them.
Great. That's amazing. Great, great advice. And, you said before about, your students. How's it going? Tell us a little bit more about your everyday life at work in general. What are your projects or upcoming projects, something like that, Tell us a little bit more about now.
So I'm teaching private students, both online and offline, and I'm still able to help a lot of people improve their English, which is something that obviously I enjoy thoroughly. I get to work quite a bit remotely, so I get to travel quite a lot, which is also very good, especially now that traveling seems to be a little bit easier. And also, I'm very much involved in different projects that concern teacher training. So I'm also training a lot of English teachers, which is it's something that I love doing. And this is English teachers that are either native or non-native speakers. And it's incredible to see how much value these teams, I call them, but both sides of the EFL world, the EFL stands for English as a Foreign Language. Teaching English as a Foreign Language is an amazing world. And to see teachers coming from all different backgrounds, all different school systems, all different ages and all different levels of knowledge of the English language is amazing, to have them all in one group and to be able to train them. So yeah, that's what I'm doing at the moment.
In case my audience would like to get in touch with you and to stress you a little bit, is it still the best way to find you on LinkedIn, or do you prefer any other where can we find you?
I think LinkedIn is absolutely fine, and you can find me. I am Raf Kutalo on LinkedIn, but I'm sure your audience will know that. And pop me a message. Just text me. Let me know if you want to. I mean, I will be honest with you. I don't have loads and loads and loads of hours available, but there's still some spaces. So if anyone wants to come along, they want to join and they want to improve their English, just pop me a note and we'll make it happen.
That's great. Also, I will say also that, do you remember, we met on Clubhouse, and I was doing this room called Afternoon Tea with Italians, no? And it was a nice way to speak in English and practice English. We as Italians, we had the chance to speak, or maybe just listening to someone else that is doing a conversation in English. And I'm trying now to start again. I'm sure I'll try to invite you for a quick hi to the crowd if you're around or if you're available, of course. Okay.
always up for a quick hello and to have a chat with you and your audience, who are absolutely amazing. So thank you so much for inviting me.
That's great, Raf. Really, really thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today. It's so much value when you explain things about English. I know you're very passionate about your work and, you're so much knowledgeable about, English language and so forth. So it's great for us to have you on board. And so definitely come back, and I'll try to invite you as much as I can in the upcoming, maybe months. I'll give you some rest, of course. And so thank you very much. And to all my crowd, I just would like to say thank you for listening to Praticamente Inglese. And as always, have a great week ahead, and I'll see you in the next episode. Hi, Raf. Have a great day.
Goodbye, guys. Thank you. Bye.
Segui i podcast di Voice sulla tua app di podcast preferita. E se sei un utente Prime, ascoltalo senza pubblicità su Amazon Music.